Well, good morning. If you would, turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. This is the final lesson in our study of the book of Galatians. Our text today is verses 11 through 18. So let's read the text together. Paul says, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Amen. So, Paul wanted this message to be communicated, so much so that he wrote it with his own hands. Now, Paul didn't typically write his letters. He dictated those letters, and then at the end, he would sign them to authenticate them. That Paul wanted to write this letter. And so what was it that Paul was wanting to get across? It was the very heart of the gospel scandal. That is, every man's destiny is determined by his relationship to the cross of Christ. Paul believed that every man's destiny was determined by the cross of Jesus Christ. And so what is the place of the cross in the gospel? Paul said, "I don't hold the same opinion of the gospel as the Judaizers do." The Judaizers, they wanted to preach a gospel that folks would accept. And that's why they wanted to water down and remove the scandal of the cross, the offense of the cross. And so what is the message of the cross? You see, the cross says three humiliating things. Number one, the cross says that every man is a wretched sinner. That's what the message of the cross teaches. And it's important that we understand this. There's something within us that wants to resist this and say, "Oh, no, I'm basically a good person." No, you're not. No, you're not. And it's important that we understand this. And so God gave his law, the Ten Commandments. Let me ask you, have any of you in here ever put anyone or anything before God in your life? Well, yes. We all can raise our hands. So that means that we are idolaters, right? How many times do you need to break the law in order to be a lawbreaker? Just once, right? I mean, if I go out and I rob a bank, am I not a robber? Yes. It just takes one. So let me ask you, have you ever used God's name in vain in your life? Yes. Yes. Yes, I have. And I know that the majority of you in here have done the same. Have you ever disobeyed your mother or your father? Yes. Have you ever lied? Yeah. And so what does that make you? Well, it makes you a liar, right? You don't have to lie 10 times to be a liar. You only have to lie once, right? That's all you have to lie is one time to be a liar. Because it's not if you lie 10 times, you're a liar. And if you lie once, you're not. A liar is a liar, whether you lie once or you lie 10 times. Have you ever stole anything that didn't belong to you, even as a child? Taken some other kid's toy because you wanted it, right? And so the bottom line is here is that we are lawbreakers. We are idolatrous. We are blasphemers, we are thieves, and we are liars. And we don't like that message, but that is the message of the gospel. The Bible is clear. We are wretched, sinful people. Secondly, the cross says that we're under a curse of the law. And so what happens when you're under the curse of the law? When you break the law, you are under the curse of the law. That is, you are a violator of the law. And the law says the wages of sin is death. And so all of us have sinned, and we're all under the sentence of death according to the law. But number three, the cross says that you can't do anything to save yourself by yourself. That's why we need a Savior. That's what the cross is all about. We need someone to save us because of our condition. You see, the message of the cross was and will always be an offensive message when you think about it. Now, there's a small group of theologians today who are discussing this idea of removing the cross as a religious symbol for Christianity because of the violence in our world. And they say that there are better symbols that we could use that don't communicate violence, because the cross is a very violent message. I mean, just look what happened to Jesus. An extremely violent message. And so these theologians are saying we need to use maybe the symbol of bread or a dove or a fish, because that's not offensive. But what would Paul say about that? Well, we know what Paul would say about that because he already said it. Let's look at it. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached unto you, he is to be accursed. As we've said before, and so say now again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, let him be accursed. You see, Paul preached the cross as the only power to save wretched sinners. Paul says elsewhere, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So 2 points Paul communicates strongly today. Number one, the gospel of grace recognizes divine accomplishment, not human achievement. And so the reason legalism wants to boast in the flesh is because that's where the glory is. It's in the flesh. Legalists don't glory in the cross of Christ because they don't boast in Christ. They boast in themselves. And even though their doctrine retains the cross, their actions nullify the cross, because when you add anything to the cross, you empty the cross of its value. When it becomes Christ plus circumcision plus law keeping, you nullify the cross when you do this. The bottom line is legalism doesn't understand the cross. Look what Paul says in Galatians 2:21. I know we looked at it in the study, but look at it again. He says, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, that is, by what we do, then Christ died needlessly. And so there's nothing about the work of cross that you can complete by your flesh, right? What he did was completed. He said on the cross, it is finished. That's what he said. And so this is the message of baptism when you think about it. We're not saved by our efforts. We are saved by our union with Jesus. Paul says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. It is my union with Jesus that and his work that brings me righteousness. Righteousness not of my own, but a righteousness that is credited to my account because of my faith in Jesus Christ. And anything you add to the cross is circumcision. That's what it is. I don't care if it's church attendance, doctrine, whatever. It is boasting in the flesh instead of boasting in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You see, the Apostle Paul, he used to boast in those things at one time in his life, but he doesn't anymore, and he tells us about this over in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, listen to what he says. For we are the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew, as touching the law of Pharisee. But whatever things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And notice this, and I count them but rubbish. You know what the Greek is? Dung. That's the Greek. Not rubbish. Well, you can call it rubbish, but that's what it is. He says, and so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. You see, the cross, because of the cross, Paul died to his spiritual workaholism, if you will, because that's what he was, right? He did everything to work and earn his relationship with God, and he found out there was nothing that he could do because everything that he thought was good and valuable and could win a relationship with God, he found out that that wasn't the case. And so, do you fully trust in the cross of Jesus Christ to save you, or do you trust in your own good works? So what are you trusting in? What you do or what he did at the cross? That's the point that I'm asking you, and this is a very important question, because legalism says Jesus paid a lot. Grace says Jesus paid it all. And all the songs we sing communicate that. Just think of them. You know, all the songs we sing communicate this idea. Jesus paid it all. To all to him I give all. I mean, sin has left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. I didn't wash myself. He washed me white as snow. He paid it all. That's the message of the gospel, and that's the message we have to get. We don't pay anything. He paid everything. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to have faith. It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to live good lives, but we don't pay for our salvation. That's what the cross was all about. He paid it all. All. And this message was so important that Paul said, I wrote this with my own hand. Now, you need to know, Paul had some issues. And the reason he couldn't write, and most people believe he had eye difficulty, right? And that was because he saw Jesus. And remember, he was blinded on that Damascus road. And he went into Damascus, and Ananias came in and laid hands on him. And the scales fell from his eyes at that moment. But it seemed like Paul always had eye trouble after that. He says, you see how large a letter I have written to you. And really, the Greek there is letters. You see how large the letters I have written unto you, indicating that, you know, he's using extra large letters because of his eye difficulty. But he wanted to pen this message. It was so important that he didn't want to dictate this one. This one must be communicated, and I must write it. But secondly, the gospel of grace emphasizes internal renewal, not external ritual. And so Paul's opponents were caught up in outward ceremony. It was a cover-up, by the way, for their corruption. Paul said, my opponents don't keep circumcision. It's just all a pretense. Religion is the great cover-up, if you will, for a life that is completely out of control. And a dose of religion can give us this impression that our heart is right with God when our heart is actually filled with evil. And that's what Paul wants us to know. So Paul said, they're not keeping the law. They're keeping a pretense. And this shows the great weakness of legalism. You see, no external law can change an internal bent. And that's the problem, that all of us were born into this world with a sinful nature. We were affected by the fall of mankind. It doesn't mean that we were born out of fellowship with God, but it does mean that there is something desperately wrong in the human heart. The Bible says this, the heart is desperately wicked, Jeremiah tells us. And so no amount of law keeping is going to change this internal bent that we have. And that's why we need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who will help us with this internal problem that we have. We can't fix ourselves, but God can fix us. And so the law can temporarily control what you do, but it can't ultimately change who you are. You see what I'm saying by that? I mean, it can control your behavior to a certain extent, but it doesn't make you new inside. That's the point that I'm making, and that's what has to happen. Conversion, that's what's needed. We need the indwelling Holy Spirit to help us with this. Look at verse 15. Paul says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And so circumcision means nothing, but rather a new creation. Who is this new you? This new you is not a person under law, but rather a person under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And Paul talked about that back in Galatians chapter 5 when he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so Christ did not come to change the old law into a new law, but rather to change the old you into a new you. That's why he came. He says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, my little children, in whom I travail again until Christ is born in you. So Jesus went to the cross and he received the penalty that your old self deserved, right? And now we must go to Christ in order that we might receive the new life that he offers. This is the message of the gospel. Do you find it to be an offensive message? So let me ask you as we close this morning, what do you boast in? Are you boasting in your work, in your church stats, in your doctrine, in a perfect life? What is it that you boast in? Because Paul never ever boasted in a perfect life, but rather he boasts, as he does all through the book of Galatians, in the perfect sacrifice of the Son of God. That's what was necessary to remove our sins. And that's why Paul says in verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And so Paul says every man's relationship is determined by his relationship to the cross of Jesus. And that's so true. For those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, they've been given eternal life. For those who reject the cross or have never accepted the message of the cross, they are separated from God. They are dead in their sin. So it is true that every man's relationship is determined by our relationship to the cross of Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus? Have you been washed in his blood? Have you obeyed the gospel is what I'm asking. And so the Bible tells us that we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We're dead in our sin. The good news is Jesus came. He died. He paid the debt of sin that we owed for the law breaking that we have committed in our life. And I think all of us admit it this morning, even though I didn't see you raising hands or shaking your head, I know you're guilty. I know that you did most of the things that I mentioned, and I could have listed some others that I didn't. And so I know that we're all sinners. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. Because this is God's means of forgiving men their sins so that man can have a right relationship with God. So if you don't have this relationship with God this morning, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, we're going to invite you to come this morning so that you can confess your faith in Jesus and be buried with him in the waters of baptism so that your sins can be removed. The Holy Spirit will come to indwell you. When you rise out of that watery grave, you'll be a new creature in Jesus, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. If you want that to be true of your life today, we urge you to come. If you have any other need this morning whatsoever, please come and make that known and let us pray with you as we sing.